would like to try to understand exactly how Amira fits in to Kedushin. It seems to be that it plays a big role, and this has implications for how things are done today. We're coming off of the sugya of civil marriages not long ago, and there a lot of it had to do with whether we gave weight and significance to the Maisa Bia as an act of Kedushin. So it's relevant to ask, to what extent does there need to be verbal explanation of what's going on, and to what extent does that have to be connected in an obvious way? So this is essentially the issue for a little while, really for about a block here of topics that are related to speech. Towards the end of the Gemara, as old as Gemara is, kedai to see, for a number of reasons, but where the Gemara is eventually going to talk about about what types of Lashonos work and what types of Lashonos don't work. So that already is assuming that we need some kind of Lashonos. So immediately before that, working backwards, we'll have the sugya of Yadayim, where you have a incomplete language, and whether that's a problem, whether that accomplishes anything. And before that, the sugya that we'll start with today, the question of what exactly happens if you split the speaking parts. This may or may not have some relevance to issues like double ring ceremonies, which really are coming from a different place of concern, but we'll see that there are clearly some shared elements as far as the sugya is concerned. And that double ring ceremony, just to have it in your radar screen, is a very major issue nowadays for a lot of reasons. One is because you want to know if it's an acceptable way to have a kedushin, and that's clearly important, the halacha to figure out. But also, sometimes, like we discussed in a few contexts, sometimes you want it not to be acceptable. And this is also a method that has sometimes been invoked or to some extent pulled in to disqualifying marriages that have happened, and we want to disqualify them when there's a problem with the get or the like. And the question is, if there's a double ring ceremony, does that do enough damage that you can say the whole thing is no good? Which may be a little much to talk about that. But all of that, again, it's not directly because of the sukkah, but it's relevant. So let's take a look first at this part of the Gemara. So the Gemara, hey, Mebeis, says, okay, Tana Rabbana and Ketzad B'Kesef, in the middle of the page in Hey Amid Beis. So, okay, we know that there is a Kinyan Kesef. So how does it work? So Nasan Lo Kesef, O Shava Kesef, he gives her money or something worth money. V'yomer La, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, Hareyat Uresesli, Hareyat Li Lintu, Harezim Mekudeshes. Okay, so we start off with a number of different formulations that work for Kedushin. Aval, he shenasna v'amrahi. What if she decides to do the giving and she decides to do the talking? Hareini mikudeshes l'cha, hareini mereses l'cha, hareini l'cha le'intu, ainim mikudeshes. Okay, so that's no good. That much we got down pretty clearly. He's got to do the talking and the giving, and you can't have her doing the talking and the giving. However, Maskef Lover Papa, Taima Denasin Hu, Amar Hu. So, okay, it's one thing if he's doing the giving, he's doing the talking. That's good. Ha Nasin Hu, V'amrahi, Ainim Mekudesha. So that seems to imply that if he does the giving and she does the talking, we split the roles, so then that should be no good. Right, because apparently the first sentence says we need both. So Ema Seifa, so what about the end? Avalhi Shanas Nalo Vaamrahi Lohevi Kedushin. So the second situation has her doing all the parts. So why is that no good? Taima Dinasnahi Vaamrahi. Sounds like she's doing both parts. But Hav Nasan Hu Vaamrahi Hevi Kedushin. So then what's with this middle case? The first sentence implies that the splitting of the parts does not work. And the second part implies the splitting of the parts do work. Does work. So says the Gemara, Reisha Davka. So the first part, that's being precise. And Sefer Kedei Naspa, the second is just the way the language flows, but it doesn't mean that you should be medayikin it. Matani Sefer Milsa the Sasra L'Reisha. So what are you going to say, just because of linguistic style or ease, we're going to give you a sentence that's essentially going to contradict the first sentence? El Hafik Sani, here's how we should say it. Nosan Hu, the Omar Hu, Pshita the Havik Kedusha. Okay, that's for sure good. That's exactly what Kedusha is. He does the giving, he does the talking. Nosan Hu, the Omar Hi, he does the giving, she does the talking. Naisa Kemisha Nosanahi, the Omar Hi. That is as good as the second case, meaning not good, as if she did the giving and she did the talking, you will all have the Kedusha. And it's not Kedusha. That's called the Lishna Tamil. That's the first formulation. Then, says the Gemara, what we will call the Lishna Basra, the Bayasema, or if you want, you can say it like this, Nasan Hu, Amar Hu, the Kudashras, that's the standard, that's good. Nasnahi va'amrahi ena mekudeshes. Nasan hu va'amrahi, splitting of the parts, sveikahi v'chayshinan midrabanan. According to Lishna Basra, it is a suffix. Right, so this Lishna Basra is really what interests us the most, right? Especially because Halacha L'maisa, that's what's going to have the biggest impact. So we know that if he does everything, that's standard kedusha, that's good. If she does everything, that is not kedusha. But what if he does the giving and she does the talking? Apparently, that's the suffix. That's the lishna basra. So, what kind of questions could you ask about this figure? What is unclear? What is clear? What do we want to figure out a little bit more about? What do you think? No.
What exactly is this suffix?
Okay, right? That's a good question. What is the suffix? Meaning what?
Is it the suffix that Kikishin itself is chal, or is it a suffix for other implications of a perceived good Kikishin?
Okay, so that's a part of it. There's more you can ask about that question. But
also
that's certain.
It's Doraita Durabanan.
Oh, okay, right? So how does the Gemara sound about that? Is it Doraita Durabanan?
Durabanan.
It says Chayshina Midrabanan, but before that it says Sveika. So what does that mean? Unclear, right? So that's a big question. Is it a Suffolk Doraita or is it a Suffolk Durabanan? Right? And the truth is that may actually also relate to the question of what type of suffix it is. I want to ask you more about what kind of questions you could ask about the sugya, but let's explore that for a second. The Soloveitchik in the Shiurim raised this question that, you know, basically, what is it that we don't know? We say it's a suffix. So what's the suffix in? What is it that we don't know? What would you suggest? What does it seem to be that we don't know here?
It's either whether her mirror connecting dots or whether him not having a mirror connecting.
Okay, so that's actually, I think you're going a step ahead. I think you're trying to figure out what Rishonim means, which is an important question too. But before that, just in terms of the Gemara says it's a suffix where? What kind of a suffix is it?
Whether he's doing a kiyukak, whether it's a kiyukak action, or if we were just within the tina.
Okay, so again, you're also going to drop further than we need. The question whether he's doing an action or not, an action that qualifies. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, so to build off what Jedediah is saying, apparently Jen word is also an acceptable nusach. While we're focused on different discholes and different lashonos today, so that's a chiddush. Jedward also works. So the question could be whether this works. Basically, we know what's going on, right? We just don't know whether this works. Rav also had thought, or he proposed as an initial thought, that maybe the question is, what does the Baal have in mind? Right, that here we have the man giving the ring, giving the woman a ring. That's what Kedusha involves in general. But normally he says something. Here he's not saying something, she's saying something. So maybe the suffix in the Gemara is, what is his kavanah? Is his kavanah that this should be a normal marriage, or is his kavanah something else? And the Rav thought that if that was the suffix, so that sounds like a suffix deraisa. Essentially, it's a question of what happened. This is the key factor in whether this was a valid process or not. So that should be a suffix in a Torah. But it could be that that's not really the issue. Because, and this is really a very important preliminary question to ask, maybe we don't care what you're thinking. Maybe his thinking is whatever it is. Maybe his thinking is fine. But the issue is, does this qualify? And we know, we've seen from our previous sugyas that thinking doesn't always make it so, with all due respect to Shakespeare. So the fact that he might be thinking that this should be a valid condition isn't necessarily enough. There are details that have to work. So does this format work? And if that's the question, so then there might be more room to say that it's a Drabbanan kind of issue. That Min HaTorah, maybe this should have been a fine condition. But Chazal have a suffix about it. Chazal imposed a suffix on this kind of situation. For whatever reason, they felt that it didn't meet their standards. So the question of whether is this a suffix deraisa or a suffix derabanan, maybe you could tie it to that question of just what exactly are we misupik about? Are we misupik about what he wants to do, or are we misupik about whether this works or not? Jonah?
However, the Hachim Amar, before this, talks about someone lines up, and someone that's a case of Nasa Nugam Rahi. Right, that case is something that Naaseh Kimisha Nasanhi Vamrahi. And the Naaseh implies that there seems to be some body, right, pushing that into a different thing which doesn't work. It's a Naaseh. We make it right. And that seems to imply that there is an intervention by a governing body that's like Chazal. Which
maybe
would make us seem to think, I would seem to think that, that is true, and this wouldn't necessarily be of a similar nature.
I thought about that line. It could be. It could mean something else, which we're not really up to yet, but I mean, if you want to bring it up. So, what else could Naaseh mean?
Sure.
I mean, what Jonah's pointing out is that the language of Naaseh, it sounds like it means that you have a situation that got flipped somehow. So, what flipped the situation? So, Jonah's suggesting that maybe Chazal's reading of the situation flipped what's going on, and that they imposed a suffix. I think there might be another way to read it. Noah?
If you view it as Edom, that maybe the Edom had a perception that it was a good Kiddushin, and so because of the Edom, they were able to make a good Kiddushin.
So you're saying that the Edom... First of all, we're talking about a bad Kiddushin. Right, we're talking about a bad Kiddushin. So how did the Edom... I mean, the Edom could be relevant in a different way. Not sure if there's that much to work with that. But we're not really up to this yet, but the question is, maybe the speech characterizes what's going on. And therefore, the fact that she said something now took an action that was neutral a second ago, or could have been default a different way, and flipped it. Like, what if we were to say that... And this, again, we're way ahead of ourselves, but just to plant this thought, we're talking about this, that what if we're to say that, just like we alluded to in our introductory words, that a double ring ceremony, the concern is it may cast a doubt on just what's going on. Right? So let's say we were to say that, okay, if the man gives the woman a ring, that could have been enough for us. But once, all of a sudden, she yells out, okay, by the way, you are now married to me. Now, uh-oh. Maybe that's not anymore a normal condition. Maybe that makes her the driver. And had she not said anything, this could have been fine. suggesting perhaps that the speech takes a very crucial role in what's going on, and that her speaking about it maybe flipped the whole direction of what's happened, and that it's ki'ilu she gave him the money. So that sentence would read pretty well then, right? So then, let's look at the words again inside. Where to go? So, do Nasan hu v'omrahi, nase kemisha nasnahi v'omrahi. That when she spoke up, she made it as if she was doing the giving. And that reframed what's happened. Possible.
But, well, like I said, that's a little ahead of ourselves, so we'll get into that. But essentially, so there is somewhat of an unclarity in the language of the Gemara here as to whether we're talking about a suffik d'oraisa, or saying sveika, or is this some suffik d'rabanan by saying the chayshina mid'rabanan. And if you saw the Rishonim, you saw the Rush, we can look a little bit together, the Rif, so there is a little bit of an ambiguity about this. The Meiri comments that this might just be an example of a broader question of what is the framework for the idea of Safik Daraisa Lachomer. If you're familiar with this, this is one of the essays in the Shev Shmaisa. The Shev Shmaisa was one of the three works that we know about that's attributed to the Ktos HaChoshen. So the, as we mentioned many times this year, the Avnei Miluim. So the author of the Avnei Miluim, the Ktos HaChoshen, wrote the Shev Shmaisa, supposedly when he was 17. So the usual line they say in the yeshivas is that if he wrote this when he was 17, you could at least read this by the time you're 17. So that's why I'm assuming that all of you have read the Shev Shmaisa. Although, to modify it a little bit, I think he must have modified it, because even if he wrote it when he was 17, he must have revised it later, because he quotes his son in the Shmaisa. So maybe he was enough of an Eloi to write it when he was 17, but you can imagine what kind of an Eloi his son was if the father was 17 and he was being quoted. So presumably that was added in later. But in any event, so therefore that also gives you a little more breathing room in terms of finishing it after you're 17. But assuming that you read the Shmaisa cover to cover, because you're all past 17, especially those of you who have birthdays today, so you'll know that one of the essays in the Shev Shmaisa is about this point. The Shev Shmaisa, the essays are all very abstract, lumdish of things about Eidus and Chazaka and Sveikos and the like. So one of the topics that he starts off with is the question of Safik Daraisa Lachumna. That we have a rule that if we're not sure about a matter min haTorah, so we have to be machmir, safek deraisa lahachmir, if it's a chiyuv. So then we have to assume we have to do it, and if it's a matter of iser, we have to assume we're not allowed to do it. And midrabanan, we're allowed to be maker. So that rule we're familiar with. But there is a machlokas harishonim where that rule comes from. That according to some Rishonim, such as the Rambam, that rule itself is midrabanan. In other words, the Torah does not obligate us to worry about sveikas. The Torah just says, deal with things that you know are there. If you know something is not kosher, you're not allowed to eat it. If you know something is subject to a chiyuv, you have to do it. But if you don't know, if it's a safek, you're off the hook. And the idea of safek d'oraisa lahachmir is a rule midrabanan. Now, by the way, that's also good for him, for the Rambam, because there is a big machlokas as to where didn't the Rabbanim get their authority from. We spoke about this a lot last year. And according to the Rambam, they all derive authority from the Pasuk and Parshas Shoftim of Lasasun Radavar Shiyagidul Chayomun Usmo. So if the idea is that there is a Pasuk and Chumash that's obligating all of this, the Ramban asks the Rambam, well, then how can we make any distinctions? How can we say that Safek Daraisa Lahachmir, Safek Darabana Lahakel, it's all the same, it all comes from a Pasuk of Los Asr, from an Isser Daraisa of Los Asr. So there are many, many ways to answer this question, but one way to answer it, the
which would also work for the Rambam Moshitaso. There's a couple of ways that would work for the Rambam Moshitaso, but one way that would also work for the Rambam Moshitaso is to say that in the Torah there's no such rule. The rabbis imposed this rule to begin with. So once the rabbis are imposing this rule, we can understand that they impose the rule only on Dinah min HaTorah. It's not something that kicks in automatically. It's something that they created, and so they created it only for the Dinah that exists in HaTorah. So the Meiri notes this, that in this context, if that's what's going on, so the Gemara could be read that way. Right? That Sveikahi, the Chayshinu Midrabanan, means that it's a Safek min HaTorah. And because that's Safek min HaTorah, Chayshinu Midrabanan, the Chazal told us that we have to worry about it. Now there's a lot to discuss about how that Rambam in general works with other dinim. That's a little bit outside of our scope, but just to be aware that that's one under the surface issue that could be relevant. And what does the Maisa of the Rambam write about this particular Gemara? So the Rambam writes here in Hilchos Ishus, saw this, Paragimel Lachabez, Nas Nahi, Va'omra Lo, Hare Ani Mikudesha Slacha, Hare Ni Mikudesha Slacha, Hare Ni Lach Le'intu, Hare Ni Lacha Le'intu, O Lacha Lashem Hakna, Eina Mikudesha. So that, you know, that's the second, the last possibility, that's for sure no good. She does everything, no good. V'chein im nosna hi lo v'yomar hu eyin mekudesh. Okay? And also, if she does the giving and he does the speaking, also is not mekudesh. Although we'll see that there are other Rishonim who are masupik about this, who thought that this is essentially the same kind of situation. Now here's a key line, if im nosna hu, the Amra, he, if he does the giving and she does the talking, Hare Zu Mikudeshes Misafek. Alright, so it sounds like the Chumra is coming from the other direction. Right? It sounds like not like, okay, well, she wants to be married, but we're not sure if it worked. It sounds like we'd rather say it doesn't work, but now we have to be Choshesh that maybe it's good. Follow the nuance? The language of Hare Zuba Kudeshus Misafek, it sounds like, okay, maybe they could have just been playing around, but because of the closeness this has to a real Kedushin, we have to worry that maybe it did work. Hare Zuba, we have to be machmir that they are married. Well, the language of the Gemara could have maybe said that, who knows, it is, they tried to get married and really they didn't, but it's a Safek, so therefore we have to be Choshesh. What's the language of the Rosh? And the language of the Rosh is Chayshina Midrabanan. And you saw the Korban Nisanel here? You have to look at it, you get a chance to see that, right? So what does the Korban Nisanel say? Harashba v'haran chasru limsal pesach, which I'll figure this out, hello sveika daraisi, kidik amr nasim hu amrihi, sveika hadi. Im ki yikach nikvida har tor radavka, akichas kesef, ol amira, gal kem v'amdu al nivrei barichas. V'ani amr shol arifri latsi nasa, kem al talmud kamer sveika hu v'chayshim d'rabban, the language is very confusing. V'parcha v'daiki nire, Shabbane Hayeshiva Hayu Musupakin, and Lafarish on Rice, the Kokim to Rishona, Nasmu Amri Vada in Kadeshas, Imkishuni Bashu, the Suffolk in Kadeshas. They didn't know whether we follow the first Lashon or the second Lashon. Yalzaz Imu, Machabaya Talmud, the Hayeshiva, the Rabban, and Lachumra, the Mitravayu Shifagat. And that's why the Maskana was to say that it's a Chumra on both sides, and if you have an after the fact situation, that she receives Kedushin from the second guy, so then, this is the most machmir version, we have to worry that both of them might be good. And we have to worry that they can't both be good at the same time, but we have to worry that either of them might be good, and therefore we have to be machmir about both, so we have to worry that maybe the first Kedushin was good, and she needs to get a get from the first guy, and maybe it wasn't good, and therefore a second man who happens to come and Mekadisher, we need to get from him too, because maybe the first marriage wasn't good and the second one did kick in. No?
Two things. One, mm-hmm. How
the
bathroom
was
from
him.
Yeah.
It seems like a similar idea, and so I just don't understand.
Sorry, what was the...
The first part is it seems like what Rashi's comment on the death.
Okay.
Secondly, if it's not like Rashi's comment, then I'm confused what he said.
We mean it sounds like Rashi Cheshuv Midrabanan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, so let's read Rashi together. Shemba Acher V'Kidshu Shrich Yabishnehem Shem Elohai Shal Rishon Kedushin V'Chal Kedushin Sheini or Shem Shal Rishon Kedushin V'Elo Shal Sheini. Right, so that case is basically what Rashi says. And what the Korban Asanel was adding is they came to this because the suffix is really about whether the first Lashon, the second Lashon is correct. The first Lashon which says that it's no good and the second Lashon which says it's a suffix. So they themselves were misupik between those two. So you come up with this language of oh sveikahu the cheshin midrabanan. He's trying to explain why this funny language. Why don't we just say one way or the other? It's a suffik deraisi or suffik derabanan. So we end up with what Rashi says, the combination of all the chumras, because we have kind of a multi-level suffik here. We have a suffik and we have a suffik whether it's a suffik, because the first lesson of the Gemara was conclusive. Right, the second language of the Gemara says the suffix. And we have a suffix, which one is right?
Do we not give prominence to the first opinion of the Gemara since the second one isn't by name?
Not necessarily. Yeah, no, that's what they weren't sure about. That's what he said they weren't sure about. Okay, so there's more to say about this issue, but we'll come back to it. But essentially, one of our questions, when I was asking, we're still in our initial exploratory remarks here, was asking what could you want to figure out about this, is what does the Gemara mean when it says it's a suffix? And we spent some time also trying to figure out what are we misupik about? Are we misupik about what he has in mind, or are we misupik about whether what he's doing works or not? So what other questions might you have about this thing? What other questions might come up, might you want to know? What other issues are left for us to explore here? Okay. So Nasan Huva Amrahiv, so what about it? Tamir, you want to...
I was going to say, kind of ask, what exactly is the role of both, I guess, the Amir and the action? What's doing the Kedushin, and if it's not doing the Kedushin, what exactly is...
Okay, so what exactly are the moving parts here? Right, so apparently there is this role for Amira, and we don't know what the effect of her doing the Amira is. So why would we need an Amira? Or what role could the Amira possibly fill? Or what could the problem of a bad Amira be? Donnie?
Proper das.
Okay, so proper das, meaning that without the Amira he doesn't have das, or we don't know what his das is?
We don't know his das, we don't know if she understands the das, I think it's both ways.
And we don't know if she understands the das, meaning
if she needs das, if under the opinion that she needs to have das for the fusion to work, then, and the Gemara will talk about this later, about the giving fusion without saying Aryan Mukudashi.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in the context where she knows that there's das, if she knows that this would be Kedushin, then it would work. Seemingly that maybe the word causes the das.
So meaning the word causes the das, meaning that without the words, you simply don't have that.
Maybe.
It's not about what we know or we don't know. It's that maybe the words cause the das. Amir?
I was thinking more to clarify the action, meaning... He could just be giving her a gift. He could be giving her anything. So to make it explicit what exactly he's doing, for both, I guess, could be for himself and probably more so for her to understand what exactly is going on.
Okay, so the difference between you and Donnie, just to clarify, and tell me if you're agreeing to this, is the question of, if you said, creates the das. And what you're saying is that it's not that it creates the das, it's that we don't know what's happening, and then we need the das to tell us, which might be two real differences.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's look for a second at what Rashi says. What does Rashi say the issue is here? Nasan hu. So that part we like. Nasan hu. Dalmi l'ki yikafish. Right? That's what the pasuk says. Ki yikafish, so that's all good. Va'amrahi. So dalmi l'sikach isha l'ish.
Right, where does it say that in the Torah? It doesn't, right? That's the problem. It looks like something that is not in our model here. So, what is Rashi? How do you understand that, Rashi? What's Rashi saying will be the issue here? So what? It looks like he got each leaf, so therefore what?
Part of the process of the kiddushin is the yikach. And so it's ma'akev if she's doing something that is fundamentally different than yikach, because yikach has other implications in terms of, like, literally taking and I guess, like...
Oh, is that what Rashi means?
Yeah. But I thought Rashi.
That's interesting. I don't think that's the universally instinctive shot in Rashi. It's interesting. I think what the assumption usually is, that what Rashi is saying, is that it looks like, you're saying it looks like a different kind of kifa. He's not doing the talking, she's doing the talking, maybe he's saying, can I take you out on a date, or can I take you in Uber? Like I mentioned once that she was Cambry Adam, take a whole schmooze once about how sometimes talk about materialism and how people get very addicted to certain things. So we talked about people. He had a whole scenario where we talked about somebody getting addicted to a fancy restaurant experience. So he starts off describing. He says, "I'm not see at the show." And then he takes his wife out on a date. And then he says, "Said the rachadash itzli motzi is a megarish of that." Motzi means to divorce. You can say Lahusi to divorce, or you want to take her out on a date. So to Rikach also has the same double meaning. It can mean if I take you out, or you want to get married. So I don't think that's how others read this Rashi, but it's interesting. What it seems like Rashi is saying otherwise is that the kicha has to be from him to her, not from her to him. Right? And if she's doing the talking, we're worried if that's really what's happening. Now, just parenthetically, what you also notice here is, well, why don't we say, how can we have any suffering? He's paying the money. He's doing the taking. Right, so how would we respond to that? Right, with all our background in the past few months, how would we respond to that? This isn't a normal Kenyan, right? He's not actually purchasing her. Right? Remember, we mentioned also that there was a Hapamina that Kesef could work his Geirishim. And that there, presumably, also he'd still be giving the money. But that was one of the riots, that it's not that kind of a Kenyan. So to here, this is an interesting point, if this is something you can read into this, that even if he's paying the money, we don't know that he's doing the Kisa. And that also might be yet another proof that this is not a standard Kenyan. So it sounds like what Rashi is concerned with is that it looks like she's doing the kicha. Now, what's interesting, if you notice the Rashba, I don't know if you noticed this or not, you saw it in the Rashba, but it's in the first of the two Rashbas. So the Rashba has a different understanding than Rashi. But before we get to that, if you notice, you may not have noticed this, the Rashba has a different understanding of Rashi. He has basically a different girsa in Rashi. And the footnotes, and the Rashi, if you looked at those, always worth looking at, the footnotes point this out. Right? What's different in the way the Rashi quotes Rashi? Exactly, right? It says, the Rashi quotes Rashi as saying, ki silakach isha lish. But that's what we're worried about. So that's interesting, because that's a different kind of problem. That there is one, the first way Rashi has it over here, it sounds like we're really redefining the whole process, that she's doing the kifa of him. The way the Rashba quotes him, it's not so much that we're concerned that we think she's doing the kifa of him. She knows he's doing the kifa, but that it's in the passive sense, I shall be taken to you, which sounds like some of the languages in the Gemara that are going to be problematic. Hi.
The Halukitarium had a different girsa in Rashi and Halukah.
Right,
and they mentioned something about the Ran, so maybe that's connected to, I assume that was the Ran in the Dharma about the fact that
you're dying.
No,
about the Ran
and Daphlam and about the passive and the fusion process.
That which might be relevant here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what does the Rashi ultimately say? Which is different than Rashi. Right, the Rashi ultimately says, but kis lakafi shalish, we're not really worried about. But, so what does the Rashi say? That essentially we need him to do the kinyan and the amira. And if she's doing the amira, then essentially he's missing a part of his role. So it's a kind of subtle distinction. And it's not so easy to always keep it separate. But it sounds like what Rashi is saying is that we have a pretty fundamental problem here, that the dibur is key, and whoever does the dibur is actually doing the kedushin, or at least we're worried that might be the case. And if she does the dibur, maybe it's her doing the kedushin. While the Rashba, the concern seems a little different. It seems like we know that he's doing the kedushin, but he also has to do the speech. And if she is doing the speech, there's something lacking in how he's doing the kiddushin. And that's what's so good. Which is a somewhat subtle distinction, but it may have nafkaminas. Right? It may be that if there are other ways to clarify what's going on, the Rashba might be happy. That maybe the Rashba says that we're not so worried about her being involved in taking over the kicha, but that her speech, as opposed to his speech, is a deficiency in the process. And therefore, maybe if there's another way to clarify his intent, maybe that could be good. So what might be another way to clarify his intent, especially if you've got it to that above? Hi?
I was going to answer.
Okay.
Possibly if he also says something, or if she says something.
Okay, so maybe if he's talking to, that might be enough, yeah?
He's in a hela.
Okay.
When he does the Natina, he's also saying, like, yes, he's reaffirming his dad.
If he kind of signs on to her Zaya, which is similar, I guess, a little bit to what Morty said. Jonah? So right. That was what I was looking for, that the Gemara later on talks about that if they're medaber b'osetarasukim b'osalini, if they have other statements that have already clarified where they're headed, so then, does that help or not? Chazanish points out that there should be a difference between Rashi and the Rashba. And the Rashba, Takal Shikaso, says that that's the case. Right? That if they are medaber b'osetarasukim b'osalini, so then, we're not worried about this. While the Tosfos Rid, I don't know if you had a chance to see that. I put that on the list, right? The Tosfos Rid. Did you get a chance to see the Tosfos Rid? So the Tosfos Rid, his comment, just so you know, on Davav, he has one paragraph for the whole Davav. So that's what you'll hopefully get a chance to look at. So there, the Tosfos Rid says that it doesn't help. So the Tosfos Rid, presumably, is like Rashi. It's not so much that we're worried about clarifying his opinion. It's that if she's doing the talking, then that's going to reverse the kicha, or a suffix reversing the kicha, and that's going to be a problem for us. Okay, so far so good? Everybody following? So apparently, just to leave us set up for tomorrow, so we have to figure out what are the ramifications of saying one way or another, of saying that, like Rashi seems to be saying, that the dibor is a key element of the process. And if that flips, the whole thing is in danger. And why should that be? Or to say like the Rashba, that really it's more about revealing what his das is, and that if he's not doing the talking, then we're left a little bit unsure. But if the talking is some other way of establishing what his das is, that might help. What difference does it make between the two positions? And what else does it say about the whole episode? And how does this tie into other things, such as Geirishim? So that is the shem. We will pick up with this tomorrow. Okay, so we will dive it. Ashrei Hashem Yisachar, Jaluch HaSalam.